Love this podcast? Support this show through the supporter feature from Acast. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
One size fits all seems like a good idea for clothes until you try them on. Same goes for healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. Learn more at uh1.com.
Welcome to Ambridge on the Couch, an in-depth look at the Archers with me, Harriet Carmichael, Lucy V. Freeman, Jeff Thomas and Matt Rodriguez-Payne. Oh, can you hear me echoing?
No.
Okay. Now, good. Okay. Sorry if anyone else can. Now, before we make a start on your emails, let's have a recap on what happened this week in Ambridge.
We began the week at the Bull with a cancelled 60th birthday party. Mrs. Watkins was devastated, as were we all when we discovered that despite the power cut, the fashion show was going ahead. Lily had gone completely mad doing scenic backdrops for it. And as it's happening in a pub with one straight line up and down, I couldn't quite envisage where these were going to go. Freddie had apparently done a million soundtracks, but quite what soundtrack is suitable for an elderly con man sauntering up and down a pub lit by people's mobile phone torches? I didn't know. Mia, like all young persons who think of themselves as anarchic disruptors, is incredibly susceptible to criticism from authority figures and went completely balmy at the prospect of her teachers coming to see the show. She vented her spleen by dumping poor Brad, who had refused to make himself look like a Burke in a trilby, and then got a bit snappy with Lillian, who was only trying to redeem the general shitiness of a load of pensioners trotting around the pub in mothball-smelling cast-offs by offering to produce a glossy brochure. Lillian then responded by getting slightly above herself. She tittered gently at the prospect of helping sort out the clothes for the show and told Tracy and Emma it might be nice if they cleaned Jolene's car in January outside, while Lillian watched from inside, giving them encouraging thumbs up. Hope they're in a union. Susan and Chelsea Susan and Chelsea invaded the Dower House like little girls who'd been allowed a rainy day dress-up session in their mother's wardrobe and eagerly ransacked Lillian's loft for all her frivolous chiffon numbers bought when she was in the honeymoon stages of various doomed relationships. Unable to bear the drooling, Lillian left rapidly, pausing only as Susan carried on trying to talk to her to shout, "Shut the front door!" "This is not a trying-on session," said Susan sternly to Chelsea as she paraded round the attic wearing a transparent blouse and yellow skirt. Admired by Chelsea wearing a kimono and a pair of kitten heels four sizes too big. A sinister-sounding stranger appeared in the Bull who Jolene appeared to be trying to avoid. To be honest, I too would try and avoid someone who, when arriving in a totally strange pub, decides to buy someone he's never met before a packet of smoky bacon crisps. Tipping the barmaids I can get behind and I'm all for, but buying snacks for strangers is decidedly odd. Not as odd, however, as owning the Hound of the Baskervilles and letting it loose in the pub car park to attack unwary landlords. David went to visit Kenton in hospital and sounded remarkably chipper. His only response to Jolene was, "Oh, poor you," as if she'd had a bit of a sore throat rather than PTSD from seeing her husband with his leg hanging off. Harassment reviewed the footage, except there wasn't any because it had a power cut they'd all forgotten about, even though they'd all been giving the electrician so much caffeine they'd wired up the lights and the ladies to the stereo, so every time anyone went for a wee, it played "My Heart Will Go On." Poor Kenton then got yet another visitor who had zero idea about how to behave when visiting someone in hospital. Vince breezed in and thought it was appropriate to reenact the attack, which made poor Kenton hide under the bedclothes. He then moved on to cheering Jolene up by reminding her that Kenton was nearly killed. I was very impressed with that hospital, though. Single rooms and a barista that does cappuccino, as if. At the most, there's a vending machine with a sign that says "out of odour" on it. By the way, Vince, the correct behaviour when visiting someone in hospital is to ask them how the food is, find out as much as you can about all the other people on the ward, and then tell the person about your own last trip to hospital. Then you leave. It turns out the sinister man in the pub was a fan of Jolene's, which explains his apparent insanity in spraying £20 notes about like a geezer and setting his dog on total strangers. He seems to be part of some mysterious black country mafia, which Vince seemed to know all about, surprise, surprise. Whether or not the Cradley Heath capo di tutti capi had actually recognised Jolene is undetermined, as is what they were doing, driving around with a van full of wolves. But anyway, now harassment's on the case, it's bound to be solved in a trice. Or, alternatively, until he gets bored, loses his special list that is headed Crimes to Find Out About, and gets distracted by the new series of Gladiators. Anyway, Jolene was left back at the Bull alone. You know when you're watching one of those grey gritty crime series on a Wednesday evening that only seem to be filmed in grey and green, and the woman detective on her own decides to go out into the dark where there is a serial killer on the loose to take her washing in or something? Well, that's what Jolene did. Rather than bipping her car alarm off through the pub window, which any sane person would do, she went trolling out into the car park to do it, whereupon she was promptly set upon by the Cradley Heath capo. I presume she was deeply shaken after this encounter, and knowing Jolene, slightly thrilled that he'd recognised her after 20 years. Yeah. Maybe she'll give him an autographed bar mat. The end.
I also got the impression that she is just a little bit pleased.
After all this time, and he still knew it was me.
Thing is, well, Vince, he couldn't take his eyes off me all night, let alone his hands.
Once seen, never forgotten.
Also, she was like, I'm so scared, I'll never leave the Bull again. And then it was like,
apart from,
oh yeah, is that my car alarm? At the pitch black, 2 a.m. I've loved this week.
I have too.
It's been so, except for how genuinely horrific the attack was. Mm. I texted you because I found it so shocking and scary that dog attack. I mean, not the
Do you know why that was really really scary? Why for so many people that was really really scary? It's a primal fear. Because we are primed to be scared of wild animals. So when you hear it, you have a visceral reaction. You have a really, really deep down... Yup! So when you hear like a dog fight, it raises your levels massively, your adrenaline levels and your fight and flight, and your heart goes funny and you go a bit shaky because it's your sort of what they call lizard brain or whatever. The deep down brain is going, whoop, you're under threat. Quick run.
Because there's like two woolly mammoths having a fight with...
Well, no, woolly mammoths wouldn't fight, would they? Because they were quite nice. But
Who would have fight?
Saber-toothed tigers and things like that. Or saber-toothed tigers. Just big scary animals coming after you. That would be enough to be scary.
Oh, God. Well, it's also because actually I thought it was incredibly well acted.
It was.
Didn't you?
It was. It could have gone so wrong.
Oh, it could have been awful. It could have been... Ruff, ruff. Oh, yeah. Ouch. Oh, get off me now. Oh, ruff, ruff, ruff. Oh, that's really hurting. Somebody help me. But it was so violent, wasn't it? The noise, the it sounded so
well,
violent.
Well, as Vince said, that bloody great thing thundering towards you. I was thinking, shut up, Vince. Bloody hell.
But I think hats off to Kenton and to Jolene and to the incredible... direction on that scene. That was brilliant.
The group of men muttering in the distance, that was scary in itself. That was, and also Kenton leaning out the window going, oi, sorry, can you, but it was, that was really realistic, I thought, because he was like, I don't want to go right out there if I don't have to. I'll just give them a little nudge to say leave, and then they don't. Okay, I'll go out. And
yeah,
you know.
All of that, it was very well. Although the thing is, I couldn't listen back because I found it so terrifying.
I think a lot of people did, actually. There was a really strong reaction to it.
And also, actually, it made me think that is one of the examples where I think radio is much more powerful than telly. Because I think even if you had seen that bloody and violent and nasty, it's much more powerful to have imagined it because there's something, it gets you, doesn't it? And also because it's Kenton, who you don't, because Jolene and Kenton just sort of bumble along.
Yeah.
They're not background characters, obviously, are they? But they're never caught up. They're never really caught up in the drama.
No.
They're sort of observers.
They're just totally focused on how they can make more money out of any given situation. That's it.
And
they don't really.
And who'd have thought that the lights have gone off. had did literally turn into attempted murder. Yes. It's what I said, Lucy. Yes, it's what
you did.
I said.
You did.
Well done, all along. Yeah, so that was very shocking.
Yes.
And exciting.
Yes. Well, it was. It was. Somebody said, who was it? Said, Catherine Rowan Jones, who headed her email with a big swear word. She said, I'm writing this while waiting for the adrenaline to ebb away 15 minutes after the episode ended. It's been yada yada fashion show, fluffy car washing froth with just one antennae twitch at Jolene's odd reservation. And then pow, out of nowhere, Kenton's being mauled in the car park and it all sounds horrendously realistic. I'm really concerned for anyone who is experiencing flashbacks. Luckily, my mum is mostly okay, but the scars don't fade. So I presume there's something, her mum was attacked, which is awful. Yes, but and that's horrendous, isn't it? I mean, but she's right. It did, you know, we were all going, oh, come on.
Yes,
the fashion show and the car washing, and then all of a sudden, oof.
Yeah. I mean, last week we were, you know, having a tiny little moan, weren't we, about how insignificant that...
Well, I was having a massive moan. You were having
I was trying to be more diplomatic. But actually, you know, the last laugh is with the writers because that you sort of have to be lulled into a false sense of security for it to be such a blooming shock. And what was my other excellent point that I completely forgotten? Now we'll never know. Oh, never mind. Yes, it was. Oh, no, yes. I know. It was because I immediately thought, because obviously Jolene was like, oh, I'll go and take the drinks out when she was avoiding the guy. Mm. And then when the attack happened, I thought, oh, my God. In fact, even before the attack happened, I thought she must owe the money.
That's maybe what that's I thought. She borrowed
went
money
off
to get. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I guess everybody thought that. That's the way it was going. And actually, that probably would have been maybe slightly more believable than the
because
my stalker.
It's all a bit... It's all a bit kind of... Well, no, why? I mean,
why?
I can understand she is the single most attractive woman in the world. I've got that.
Of course, but exactly.
In her mind, but if no one else is. But... So, but what actually happened at that night? There was a fight.
There has to be something more to it. It can't be just that he took a fancy to her, tried to get on stage.
There was a fight.
She said there was a fight.
And there was a fight outside in the car park, she said, didn't she? And they all hid.
And then also, or was the trigger that Kenton, you know, when he was announcing the winner of the longest drinker, and then he told them to shut up. When he was in the bar and he was like, just before the winner is, he was like, come on, lads, shut up. I've told you once. He was a bit shouty at them. But that can't...
No.
Or was it because there was no CITV, CBBC in the car? Because obviously they knew the electrics were off, so therefore they knew that the cameras would be off. And so they were going to do their dog trading in the car park?
Oh.
I don't know.
Somebody noticed that he said a nice quiet spot this.
Yes, exactly.
Which was a bit of a...
Yes. Although those dogs aren't quiet. So
no, they're not.
Surely.
No.
I don't really know. But it's slightly unbelievable that. I mean, even the fact that she recognised him and he recognised her.
Yeah.
Although she hasn't changed in 30 years.
Obviously.
Let's face it.
Obviously.
She looks better.
Yeah.
In fact.
If anything.
Anyway, I don't care because I absolutely love this mafia stuff.
Yes.
I'm so into it. Well, I'm really happy. I loved Jolene being thrilled to the nines when he had his knife stuck in her, whatever he was doing with her. Calm down there.
Don't turn around.
Oh, it's a very tingly knife you got there.
This week was confusing for some of our American listeners who still can't distinguish between different Birmingham accents, so thought everybody was Vince this week.
Yes,
everybody. Including Michael Gorman, who said, I am handicapped in that I can't differentiate between different Midlands accents. I thought that the vaguely sinister inquisitorial person in the Bull last week was Vince in disguise. And then Holden below, Vince pops up and is all tea and sympathy with Jolene and promising to use his business contact in the Black Country to track down someone who started a fight in a music venue years ago. No idea what he looks like and may or may not be the same person who set dogs on Kenton and may or may not be planning to burn down the Bull. Only in Archerland. Yes, I do. This is, but we do need a little bit of clarification here.
Do you think that's
Michael.
Why they had to bring Vince into the hospital? Just
to remind
to be
it's
clear.
Not him. Not him. He is wearing the white hat. He is good man. The
Vince
other man, bad man, black
goodie.
Hat. Yes. Vince
and just
good.
To be clear, yeah. This is not the grey man, but it could be. But it could be.
Oh, God, you'll start Richard Keeling off again. Oh, no.
Just so you know, they made it. I love it when they have a proper black country accent. Yeah. Or, you know, it's a bit more interesting, isn't it?
I had two very funny experiences this week, both involving Birmingham accents. Not that Kenton being ripped to bits in the car park was funny in any way. The hairdresser that I went to in the nearest big town to me was telling me, she's from Birmingham, and she was telling me, and I'm sorry for the accent, Birmingham people, but she was telling me that she just had her baby, and her husband said he was going to stay up. That she said to him, stay up the head end. I don't want you to see anything. Stay up the head end. He said, I'm going too bloody hell. It's like watching me favourite pub burn down. Which was unpleasant.
Oh, that is.
And then
classic dad at a birth scene.
And then she was telling me about that. I said, could I just use your loo before I go? She said, yes, you can. The plumber is on his way. It is usable. What we recommend is that you do your business, wash your hands, flush the chain, then run. Because it kept flooding over the top.
Oh, gross. Oh, God.
So there were detailed instructions in the hairdresser's loo about running, the importance of getting out of there fast before you get up to your ankles in wee. Anyway.
Oh. Yes. But there's something about, to a southerner, hearing about the black country feels like a sort of magical land
like
where
Mordor
pirates live.
Or something.
Well, exactly. I mean, I've been to
how
the Black
do you
Country,
get there?
Yes, but that's the thing. It's just a beautiful part of the country, isn't it? But when you hear about it, it sounds quite mysterious and a bit outlanderish.
Yes.
So I imagine. I imagine as well if you're not from the UK, it's I mean, I don't even.
It's called the Black Country because of the mining.
Right, okay. Yeah. So it's very rural, isn't it?
Well, no, not really.
Is Kettering in the Black Country?
No.
That's where I've been.
Where the heck?
Hang on. No, not Kettering. Hang on, there's another thing. Christ. Hang on, there's another place beginning with K. Hang on. I've definitely been there. There's a bridge there.
Right.
There's like on a famous river. That is like a famous river.
Are you thinking of Shropshire?
The Wye?
No.
Hang on.
The Black Country is...
You explain it.
Okay.
I'll look at the map.
It's between... it's Dudley, Sandwell, Walsall and Wolverhampton. Dudley and Tipton are considered to be the centre.
I think you're describing it as
beautiful is maybe a bit of a push. I'm not sure.
Okay. I've never been to the Black Country then.
No,
I
didn't think you had. You don't strike me as a Black Country girl, I have to say.
No, I'm not claiming to be from the Black Country.
No, or somebody that even knows where it is, which is what's actually just happened. So, yeah.
Oh, is Kettering near the Welsh border?
No, Kettering's in the Midlands. It's near Market Harbour.
Oh, hang on. Can you just talk amongst yourself while I just look at a map of the UK?
God, here we go. It's another ill-advised stab. Apart from this time, I've actually got Wikipedia up, which tells me all about...
Oh,
okay.
Guess what? This is a good pub quiz question, by the way, that we did a quiz last night.
Oh, no, not
what is
one.
The third biggest city in the UK? It goes London, Birmingham. Birmingham's actually the second biggest city. And what is the third biggest city in the UK? London, Birmingham...
Manchester.
No, that's what we all said.
What is it?
Leeds.
Is it?
Crikey. Yes. Also, the place I meant was Kidderminster.
Right.
Okay, so just to be clear, it is
when
like
you say just
near
to
Birmingham.
Be clear, I think we've just in no way clear to anybody.
Well, just to be clear, it looks like very near to the Black Country Living Museum.
Okay.
Kidderminster.
Right.
It's very pretty around there.
Right. Apparently. No two Black Country men or women will agree on where it starts or ends.
Okay. makes sense.
And cultural parameters include unique or characteristic food, such as groaty pudding, grey peas and bacon, faggots, gammon or pork hocks and pork scratchings, Black country humour as well is a cultural thing, and the black country dialect.
Yes, Babs.
Yeah.
And that's it for my lesson in how to speak from the black country. Yes.
How yes, to speak, Babs. Not London. There is London and there
not
is not London.
To be confused with Birmingham.
Yes.
Now, I've got a friend, Ewan, and he's got a proper, gorgeous black country accent.
Okay.
I mean, and it's so lovely and it's unbelievable that he's an actor, that he's not on The Archers, because his accent is so unique. His voice is so unique.
Well, maybe he'll turn up now we've got lots of black country people.
Well, but he doesn't sound mean. He's got a very light voice.
Okay.
Yeah, he does a lot of
those
panto.
Those blokes sounded mean, didn't they?
Yes, he did sound mean. They sounded
proper. I thought
proper.
The first one sounded quite sexy. But then when the dog went forever, I thought, that's not sexy. That's not nice. No.
Nasty, Lucy. Nasty. But Jolene thought it was sexy too.
She did.
Clearly.
It did. Kate Lloyd-Jones said, the published teasers for episodes overuse phrases like last night's shocking events when they're nothing like, but definitely applied to this one. I was rooted to the spot. I know, when you actually do get a Shay Cambridge to the core, you're like, oh, goodness. And it,
I don't, yeah, but she's right, because you're always like, yeah, right, yeah, as if it's going to, and then you're like, oh my God, that was actually brutal. But actually, weirdly, I tried to record a tiny bit of it, but I think it was on, Wednesday when they repeated the episode from Tuesday, there was a news story just before The Archers about banning those dogs. There's a new type of breed of dogs that
XL
they're talking
bully.
About banning.
Yeah.
Yes. And that was just before the episode, which I thought was
a lot of people
amazing.
Wondered that. I don't think they'll go there because it's too, it's quite a hotly contested thing. Because what's happening is the people are now trying to get rid of the dogs quickly. Scotland hasn't brought in the same ban. So a lot of these people are moving to Scotland with their dogs.
Oh, God.
So that the dogs can remain... You know, it's not the dogs, it's the owners,
I felt like this week, obviously, of course, it's like this beast was a beast and a wild animal and has to be put down. But they kept going, oh, the horror, you know, the nasty dog. And you're like, well, it's not the dog's fault.
No.
It's the nasty owners and the people who are breeding these beasts to be feral and violent.
The thing is, I presume it's a problem everywhere. It's not just in the UK, but you can be stopped for carrying a gun, you can be stopped for carrying a knife. You cannot be stopped for owning a dog that is capable of killing somebody.
Yeah.
Or at least being threatening enough to somebody that enables you to get what you want. So that's why these dogs have become so popular, and that's why they're now trying to bring in the ban. The trouble is, these dogs are crossed so many times, there's not like one dog that you can point at and say, that is an XL bully.
No, because
they've been crossed with mastiffs, they've been crossed with goodness knows what, all kinds of breeds. A lot of the breeds coming out of America, and they don't even know what they. We're not even sure what they are here. So having a blanket ban on one breed is really, really difficult to enforce.
God, it's like another virus, a pandemic of bad dogs. And also, I suppose it's unfair, isn't it, on the poor old breeds that have been crossed but look like the bad breeds, but they're actually fine. Oh, poor old dogs.
Mm. No, it's awful, and it's but it's a really, as we said earlier, it's a very, we have a very visceral reaction to it as humans listening to that, I think, and so it makes excellent drama because it's terrifying to listen to.
Oh God, yeah.
Well, it's like it's what The Hound of the Baskervilles was based on.
Oh,
this idea of this creature that everyone knew was out there. They weren't quite sure what it looked like. They just saw their glow, and it kind of feeds
fangs
into folklore and all this kind
absolutely.
Of thing. So it's a. It's a huge thread that runs through, you know,
and aren't
British
they trying to bring
folklore.
Are they trying to bring wolves back into the UK?
They have. It keeps being mooted, but the farmers are obviously very concerned about their sheep. Yeah. So you've got the wildlife lobby and then the rewilding lobby, and then you've
I'd say don't bother.
I'd say probably. What about let's bring hedgehogs back and encourage them more?
Or,
well, it's slightly less sexy than wolves.
More doctors and nurses.
Yeah.
Back.
Yes. Also that. Ellen Hughes, you know, we talk about, you said about bringing whales, bringing wolves back.
Whales back. Whales. We must have more whales.
Yes.
Living in Wales. Yes.
And also you said about the bison.
Yeah, yeah.
She's told me that there are some bison near me.
Ooh, wow.
The Reig Estate near Corwen keeps bison. I keep driving past that and thinking, oh, that looks lovely. I must go in there when I've got time, and I haven't had yet. And it's a huge farm, shop and estate. near Corwen.
Rhug as in R-E-E.
It's R-H-U-G, but you pronounce it Rhug.
Yeah, I'm just looking it up.
It serves an excellent bison burger. They aren't kept in a rewilding wood pasture type context like the ones Harriet mentioned in Kent, but they are still delicious and the farm shop is excellent. I used to work for the local vet practice and went on a couple of visits to the bison. They were bloody enormous. Yeah. Luckily, they had very good handling facilities, though, so no one got trampled. She said,
"Oh, yeah,
this
it looks like a lovely, lovely place."
She said, "It's one of those places where you can go in, you pop in for to have a look and emerge £85 lighter, thinking, oh, God, I only bought some fudge and a bottle of cordial.
And a massive bison burger."
Poor old Kenton and poor old dog. She said, "This week's been a wild ride. From last week's utter tedium to this high drama. Good God almighty, what the hell
was
that?"
Oh, is that Cooper? That's Cooper throwing his toys out the pram.
No, it wasn't. What's just
Who
happened?
Who was it? Was it no one?
Well, it wasn't me.
Is it Anne? Is she still there?
No, it wasn't me. What was it, Harriet?
Was it Jeff?
Seriously, it wasn't me.
No, I swear to God, Lucy, I swear to God that came through my headphones.
But it's not me. Nothing's here.
No, but it's not me. Oh, my God. We've been poltergeisted. No, Lucy, that wasn't from my end.
Well, it wasn't from my end either.
That was a banging tray.
Mm.
Or something.
Mm.
Oh, my God. We're going to have to listen back. Because that was a ghost then.
Quick, get Danny Robbins. Quick.
Oh, yes. Lucy, this is going to be fantastic publicity. Cross-fertilisation of the podcast. Wow. Oh, look, I heard my echo again. Oh, God. Need to turn my headphones down. Can you hear me now?
Yes.
No, I can still hear a bit of an echo.
I can't hear an echo.
Anyway, okay, fine. If you can't hear it, it's fine.
Mm.
Sorry, well, that's all. Anyway, that is weird. When we listen back, we'll be able to find out. And if we can't hear it, then that's extra weird.
It is. Then we should just have ourselves sectioned because we're hallucinating.
Love it.
It's synchronised. She said, poor old Kenton and poor old dog who is doing what it's been trained to do by his owners but will pay the price. Let's hope Vince and his dodgy underground black country contacts can help.
Yeah.
Yes.
Definitely can't.
Definitely
going to make it worse.
But definitely going to make it worse, but still do more than Harrison is going to, because he is so out of his depth in this.
He's like me. He thinks the black country is Kidderminster.
Yeah. If we...
Hey, Kettering, isn't it? Down there somewhere.
Andrew Stewart wants our assurance. He said, if I continue to pay my Patreon subscription, can you guarantee that if I'm ever rushed into hospital, Vince won't suddenly appear at my bedside for no apparent reason?
Tell us all about it.
How much blood would you say there was on a scale of 1 to hemorrhage?
And then Shula was so schoolish about it. Wasn't she? I don't think we need to talk about this now, Vince. Rather than just going, oh, do you know, Vince, you wouldn't mind getting me a coffee, would you? She told him off proper.
Yes, yes. Just go away. Go away. You don't know how to behave. Go away. Anne Cure said... oh, dear. She was listening to us. She's an organist.
Yes,
and she was listening to us through the online Unitarian service. And she said she had to laugh quietly so that she didn't interrupt the service. Anyway, she said, I think Harry's hip is being rejected the same way the listeners are rejecting him. Don't tell my friends and family you've had joint replacements. And she was fascinated in a rather disturbing way by the story we had about the basically the internal massage of the lady sheep to get it to take on. Yes.
Yeah. We were all disturbed.
Yes. She said, why did sheep shagging never feature in James Herriot's books? Wouldn't it take two people, with one to check for the glazed look or just someone with a long arm? And also, she said, formerly living in Maine in the US, where the northern part of the state raised many sheep, I thought I'd heard all the sheep jokes, clearly or glazedly not. Yes, I was wondering how you'd crane round to see the expression on the face of the sheep.
Oh, God, sorry. I can hear a disturbance this end.
I can.
That's a child. Okay. Well, that's brilliant. Okay, come and say hi, and then you can run down again. It's Lucy. Come and say hi, Lucy.
Hi, Lucy.
Hello, love. Have you got a friend to play?
Have you got a friend? No, you're watching telly, aren't you?
Yeah.
Yeah. You're going to go carry on watching?
Yeah.
Well done. I'll take this and I'll read it to everyone. Okay, good boy.
Off it only says what the picture is. Look.
Okay.
Wait.
Sorry.
If you see the picture, it says what the picture.
Look. Yes. Oh.
Look.
Yeah,
Bluey,
well done. Yeah.
Mum.
Oh, well done. That is brilliant.
The arrows.
He's made a book.
That is lovely. Thank you so much. Good boy. You can go and have a snack. Go and get Hal to give you a snack. Good boy. Well done. Off you go. Bye. Yeah.
Thanks. Sorry.
Has he made a Bluey book? That's very good.
Oh, he loves making picture books.
Oh.
Yes. We're basically like a publishing house. I'm constantly stapling books. Sometimes I have to put string to make it's great. No, it's brilliant.
Used to do that. And then I moved on I got a reel-to-reel tape recorder from somewhere, a second-hand one. And I used to make radio shows.
Oh, yes. I used to make, of course.
Because I used to force my sister to be interviewed endlessly. Yes. She was like, I don't want to be interviewed. No, tough. Sit down. You've got to be.
We used to do radio shows. Isn't it sad that kids can't really do that anymore because they've got the technology has moved on so much?
Yes, they can actually produce something that Radio 4 wouldn't sniff at.
Oh, that's why we like doing this, Lucy. It's like all our dreams come true.
Yes, exactly.
We should have, and we have music.
And we have.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too. Like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Anyway, sorry for that interruption.
Terry White says, about this Kenton / dog thing, any chance that it dates back to that strange few weeks a few years ago when Jolene went off on tour as a backing singer, came back, and nothing was ever mentioned again?
Oh, yes.
What if something happened back then and they finally tracked Jolene down to exact their revenge? I think it was just the singing would be enough for them to put the price on her head, to be honest.
She went off on tour, didn't
she? Did.
She?
She did.
Yeah, and then it was just never, ever mentioned.
No, she came back. That was it. But she was supposed to be having a record contract and then it didn't happen.
Yes, that's right. Yeah. Oh, God. I love this. I love the madness of this.
Yes. Yeah. Janine said, poor Kenton being comforted by Jolene, then in breezes David cheerily asking copious questions. When he said, I see you've got a drip, I was waiting for Kenton to reply, and its name is Dave. Lovely scene with Susan and Chelsea trying on Lillian's clothes, and then Lillian explaining about where they were from or why she couldn't wear them anymore. Just when I was feeling a bit jaded with the Archers over the last few weeks, especially with boring hip Harry, then this week has been so good.
So good.
Yes.
So good. That's it. Why do we forget that this is what they do?
It's they play with
they
us.
They give
don't
us
they?
A couple. They do the little teasers.
If any of them listen to this, which I'm 99% certain they absolutely don't, then you can imagine them just sitting there and saying to themselves, just wait for Tuesday. Wait for. And there we go. We're like, oh my God, this is so brilliant.
There was also some excellent stuff from Susan this week, wasn't
yes.
there? The fact that Mia just completely dismissed Neil as yes. being too fat and ugly.
She can't see how attractive he is.
I just thought that was all excellent.
Yes. I just need to have an urgent message. I have replied.
Yeah. Okay. That was quick. Well done.
I just put the word no. That was why. It's very quick.
Hi, Mum. Can we have some money?
No. Rachel Ramsey said, oh, dear.
I'm so sorry, Rachel. I've been listening to your most excellent podcast for a few months now and love it, but this is my first email to you. While there's lots I could rant about following a week of above average dire storylines, this was from last week she's talking about, not this week.
Yeah.
The incident that has prompted me to finally go from lurker to emailer is that this morning I awoke from a dream in which I had no idea what was going on, and in my dream I found myself singing, "What the hell is happening here?" I could not believe it. I'm so sorry. I don't know. We've accidentally created some kind of...
No, because didn't someone else
have
it?
Yes, yes. Febreze keeps turning up in people's dreams, either as a serial killer or as a Japanese serial killer or as just himself, bizarrely. And also people keep singing, finding themselves singing, "What the hell is happening here?"
Matt's created something that's too earwormish.
Yes. Rachel Pickering was talking about Mia. Quick question about Mia. She's very passionate about causes and determined to get things right. I know she was very young when Nick died, but didn't her mum also champion several causes, and sometimes at the expense of her relationships with other people in Ambridge? I could be wrong, but I seem to remember Nick volunteering at the church.
Yes, she did.
You're right, Rachel. And she did also, she didn't ever shy away from saying exactly what she thought about things.
That's true. That's totally true. Mia is like Nick. They've nailed that, actually. Mm. Yeah, because Nick was never afraid to speak her mind, was she?
No, and she had quite a hot temper. She was quite impulsive.
Yeah, and then, but she was passionate about about helping at the church. Yeah. And she did the Sunday school, didn't she?
Yes.
Yeah.
This is from Deb, who said, why was Jolene acting so oddly when that man came in? Does she have a backstory? Was she a gangster's moll in a previous life? Why did a bunch of thugs turn up after closing time with vans, trailers and dogs? My theory is that Kenton unwittingly foiled an illegal dogfighting ring. But we've had that before, and Deborah says the dogfighting story isn't a new one. If you were listening in the noughties, you may remember a character called Darren. Well, she said Darren, but it was Daryl, who was in prison briefly and got coerced into finding a suitable venue for his cellmate, Des. And that's where David was injured, wasn't he? Was he shot?
Because
he came into the barn and they were threatened because do you remember Ruth got that sinister phone call?
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was to do with the dogfighting ring. I actually looked up Daryl, the actor that played Daryl, because I was reading an interview with him, and he is the most angelic, cuddly looking, dear faced little man. Sweet. And quite how he ended up playing Daryl, I don't know. But anyway, because he had Daryl's girlfriend was called Elena, wasn't she?
God, you've got a good memory. Elena.
Only because I read it again recently. But yeah. So we've done dog fighting. So I think it's more what you said, Harriet. I think it's more dog trading.
Dog trading.
Trading.
And just general mafioso.
Yes, general activities.
You know.
In fact, I was watching Griselda last night, the Netflix thing about...
I don't know what that is.
It's rubbish, don't watch it. But okay. I just watched the first episode and I thought, ooh, this is what the Archers was going for. She's a Colombian drug baron.
And it's right.
Sofia Vergara from...
I love her.
Yes.
Oh, I love her. Yes. Oh, right. Oh, that's okay. So, but not worth watching.
No, I don't think so. But,
I'll stick to the Archers.
But I've had a very mafiosi week. Richard Keeling says, I know there's more important things going on in Ambridge at the moment, but what the fuck does Lillian wear that looks good on her and Chelsea?
it's that vintage thing,
isn't it?
No, but also that exactly. And actually, I reckon a really beautiful silk shirt.
Yes.
Actually would look great on anyone who wore it,
yeah.
As long as because it'd probably be a little bit more oversized on Chelsea,
yeah.
But she'd wear it well and do something,
yeah,
funky with it.
And it's
I actually
classics,
didn't think,
isn't it?
Apart from the, as you said, it was all a bit. There was, you know, it was quite a high end production for just Bert, as you said, sort of being wheeled around. But I ended up thinking, I think this is a really good idea because you do actually end up buying clothes that you see being worn by other people.
Mm.
And if it's just a pair of jeans going for a fiver and someone not too stinky is wearing them on the stage, I mean, I'm not sure I would have worn anything modelled by Bert. Can you imagine the sort of sweat?
Has he got his colostomy bag screwed in properly?
Oh,
otherwise,
God,
I'm not yet.
Stop. But, you know, if you did see someone young and attractive wearing a very expensive, I don't know, handbag or something, you might go, oh, I'll get that.
Yeah. And also, you have to have that confidence to think, I think that would look
It's like you need... It's how Instagram works, isn't it? You need the validation that your taste is okay because other people have got the same thing.
Absolutely.
So if you see Chelsea wearing something and you think, right, she knows what she's doing and she says that's nice, therefore that's nice. If you're a bit, you know, insecure about things.
Yeah, exactly. And also they need to, exactly. And they can wear it differently to show you how to wear it nice.
Yes.
I mean, a silk shirt is a silk shirt, so it's just a good piece.
Even if you wear it over like a vest top and jeans, it still looks lovely.
Yeah, lovely. Mm. Have a little belt round it, Lucy. If it's long enough, it could be a little dress. Yeah, could really get into this. I think fair enough. That was a good idea.
Yes. David Thomas has messaged about Lillian. He said, until recently, Lillian was my favourite character, and not only because of her prodigious gin consumption, although that helps. I hope that I'm wrong, but I think she's becoming the new Peggy. Evidence.
No.
One, Lillian was as keen as mustard to get Alice together with the socially suitable Harry Chilcott without knowing anything about him. He just looks and sounds the part. Remember when Titchy Knob came on the scene? Peggy thought that the sun shone out of his nether regions based on the same thought process, as far as I can tell. Two, Lillian almost had a do-you-know-who-I-am moment with poor Mia. She spoke to her in the most high-handed manner, obviously channeling Jenny, know your betters, darling. Three, Lillian gets poor Tracy to clean Jeline's car. What? Tracy has enough to do without cleaning Jeline's car. It's not Bobber Job Week. All of this points to Lillian getting more and more uppity and imperious, and I don't like it. What happened to the warm and generous Lillian we used to know and love? What a shame that she has come to the front of the queue for yet another inexplicable personality transplant. Still, genes will out.
I thought Emma and Tracy were surprisingly chipper about doing all those domestic
and then,
jobs.
And then even
that's not
having,
in their job description.
Even having time to have a little foam fight with the... And I thought, it's January. You'd go, oh, God, can we go in now? Right,
or
fine.
You'd go... Do you know what? And actually, a day off that's paid is a lovely treat. And because I work so hard and I'm so loyal to this pub.
Yes.
Wouldn't it be nice if the owners just went, do you know what? Have the day off.
Yes.
You know. Yes. Yeah. Anyway.
Rather than the shareholders sticking her oar in and making
it
do
menial work.
Yeah,
it's a bit. I thought it made Tracy and Emma also sound a bit servant-y, didn't it? When they were sort of like scurrying around going, we'll do anything we can to help.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, it was a bit like Clary and Susan in the dairy with Helen going, you've all done terribly well. Well done. Look, I've even put your silly little names in the paper. Aren't you glad? Have you ever seen your names in a newspaper before? If you can't read, I'll point them out to you. That's you, and that's
you. Your Majesty. I love working here. It's my favourite part of the day.
In fact, I pay them to be allowed to work here. Thank you. James Everett says he is doing a fashion show. This semester for our university course, we have to organise a fashion show. Maybe I should do the Mia Grundy method and insult everyone. Hopefully mine isn't a shambles like the Ambridge attempt. And if Lillian would like to pay for our programmes, I would not say no.
God, James, that's... Oh, how funny. In a twist of life meets art.
Yes. Let us know how it is going.
Oh, please
do. Do you have to design the clothes? I don't know what course he's doing. Yes, do you have to design it or market it or what?
I thought he was doing drama.
I don't know.
Or English.
I don't know. If we can help, James, let us know. I don't know how. I don't think you really... Do you want a glossy programme? I mean...
Do you want senior models?
I shall pimp Harriet out as a senior model.
I'm terribly much younger.
Yes, terribly much younger than Kenton. Yes, terribly much. Now, I've forgotten what we're doing. What are we doing now?
If there's a silk shirt though, James.
Yes.
I'll buy it.
Yes,
I'll buy
it.
Because I've tried to use Vinted. Do you ever use Vinted?
Yes.
Vinted. Mm. I don't like
Vimto.
It.
Vimto. No.
Vimto. Everybody loves it, but I can't get along with it.
What is it you don't like about it?
There's too much choice.
Okay.
You're not sure if it's scuzzy or not scuzzy.
Mm.
And I'm just not willing to go there. I'd rather see it. I just need to see it. Mm.
I think my daughter's generation, I'm not suggesting that you're not my daughter's generation, Harriet, because obviously you are, but they just use it. They so rarely go to actual shops.
Yeah.
That's a totally different shopping experience for them.
Yes.
As far as I can tell, they go to shopping centres to drink milkshakes and come home again and then do all their shopping online. Yeah. And they never look at fabric or...
No.
And they just, it's just this continual
trooping backwards and forwards to the post office, sending things back and then buying it and then putting it on Vinted and then getting another box of someone else's clothes. And, you know,
which is, you know, if it is circular, is absolutely brilliant and what we should be doing. But it is. It's a shame.
It isn't, though, because so much of when you buy cheap, shitty clothes, so much of what you send back just goes straight onto into landfill because they can't be asked to resell it.
I do worry about with ASOS if they, you know, like you send it back and you're like, is it going to be re-ironed?
Well, that's what Chelsea said, isn't it? That she keeps the label on, wears it once and then sends it. She's a monkey. That's, you definitely should not do that. It's very naughty.
Isn't that what most people under 20 do?
Yeah, I think it probably is.
God, so naughty. Can you imagine doing that, Lucy? No. I mean, I probably did do it when I was a student.
Oh, but... I was much too good. There's no way I'd do that. even if it looked terrible and I hated it, I'd just force myself to wear it because I'd spent money on it. So that was that. Now we're going to do, let's ruin everybody's week by playing this.
What the hell is happening?
What the hell is happening here?
And
I hope they don't have that in their dreams as well.
That would be slightly weird. imagine if, you're dreaming about Kenton and then a massive duck comes out the back of a van and attacks him. Do you remember last week's clip when Susan had had her hair done?
Yes. And Neil,
And Neil loved went, whoa! So that was Susan, James says, Susan had just got her hair done for Jennifer's cocktail party to celebrate her new kitchen. Most people in the village thought it was an awful look, except Carol Tregoran, who thought it brave of Susan to try something new and that more people should try it.
Cocktail party for Jenny's new kitchen. Oh, Susan, whose new kitchen? Jenny's?
Jenny's new kitchen.
Yeah.
I remember that. And he also says, P.S. David is back. That means Pip can't be far away. Oh, James.
He can smell her.
So this is this week's clip. You ready?
Yep.
James, are you up here? What's going on? Has Leonie left? Darling? Talk to yourself, Lillian. Look, I've got your dressing gown. I'm going to hang it up in the bathroom. All right, James?
No.
James!
Mom, shut the door.
Sorry. I didn't know Leonie was still here. Oh, Lord. Look, I'll leave your dressing gown outside.
Hello? Lillian?
Brenda!
Anyone about?
Yes.
Do you always come up?
No. No. Stay right there.
So they were in the bath together, were they?
Oh, right. Ma! That's my friend Roger May. I wish he'd come back. Ma! So Leonie and James had split up, hadn't they? They must have split up. And he came back to live with Lillian.
And no, then... this is when they were first getting together.
Oh, I see. That's why it was such a shock. I was going to say, why was she so shocked? Oh, I see.
So I think that they were in the bath together and I think that he'd been flirting with Brenda.
Oh, right.
And Lillian didn't know what was going on. And so it was like a bit farcical.
Yeah, because Brenda used to work for Lillian and Matt, didn't she?
Yes, yeah.
Oh, that's so funny. Oh. I've got your dressing gown, darling. That's how I get into a Lillian voice.
Machine gun voice.
Janet, darling. Yeah, it is. I've got your dressing gown. Oh, God, that's brilliant. That's a great clip.
So I think my guess is that's what it was, that it was they were in the bath together. Yeah. James had been flirting with Brenda or having a relationship with Brenda. Poor Brenda. She sort of, everybody had a go on Brenda, didn't they? And and then
she left. She couldn't take it anymore.
She was exhausted. Leonie, sort of their relationship moved on, and Lillian didn't know. And
I guess because for new listeners, I suppose who weren't listening back then. Because obviously we never really hear James and Leonie.
No.
But obviously James is Lillian's son and then Leonie is Robert's daughter, isn't she?
Yeah.
So they met in the village.
Yes, but they met briefly in the village, but then their relationship sort of blossomed off mic.
Yeah. Yes.
So,
thanks, James. That's fun.
Last week's competition was to win all the lovely
the
skin
pampering
stuff, the pampering
the face masks,
the sheet masks from our Nutriactive range.
Sheet masks. You've got to be careful how you say that. Sheet masks from Nutri. Sheet masks from Nutriactive.
Sorry. And there goes our sponsorship. Anyway,
sorry,
never
you
mind.
Just say that. Yeah, could you just sorry? Could you just say that one more time? We it was a bit funny the way sheet masks from Nutriact. Okay, let's change the voiceover. Yes, that's lovely. Who's won it then?
Well, I picked this week.
Oh, well done, sorry. Lucy. With a face mask on.
Largely because I forgot to send it to you guys so you could pick. So I just thought I should go to pick. And I really liked this one. Especially point three. This is from Rachel Harris, who has won. And she says, the rehoming of Hilda Ogden. She should go to Shula. One, Vickers nearly always have cats, so it'll help with Shula's training. Two, Hilda will have to move to Sunderland. And who knows, maybe being away from Ambridge and nearer the northern roots of her namesake will mean she has a personality change and becomes a calmer, nicer cat. And three is my favourite one. If you just put this, Rachel, you'd have won. The main and most important reason, she can then be called Hilda Ogden Hebden Lloyd whenever Shula takes her to the vet.
That is a winning answer.
Hilda Ogden Hebden Lloyd. I really like that. I might change my own name to Hilda Ogden Hebden Lloyd. So well done, Rachel. Can you please brilliant. Send me, how through whatever means you choose, your name and address and your mobile number, because the couriers always want that. And I will then send that to the PR lady who will send you your skincare stuff.
And when we next see you, you'll be glowing and radiant.
Yes.
And
you'll look 40 years younger, even though we don't know what you look like now.
40 years younger. Tests on three women over 30 days. Well, yes. Congratulations.
Yes. And next week, Harriet is skiing. Are you not?
Yeah, all right, Lucy.
Sorry, what? Am I, is it a secret?
Don't tell the world.
Okay.
They'll come and break in.
Oh, I see. She's not skiing. She's at home with some big dogs.
I'm skiing in Milton Keynes at the snow dome.
Yes.
Yeah.
The big
dogs will come.
So it is me
they'll do some trading in my garden.
It's not your garden anyway. It's your neighbour's garden. It's fine. And next week, Jeffy is going to be doing this with me.
Oh, thanks,
if
Jeff.
He is. This is what he's doing this week, right? This weekend.
Oh, yes, go on. Yeah.
This sounds to me like hell on earth. He's so happy about it. You wouldn't believe. He's flown over. He's in Scotland watching the world's worst football match. He'd actually there's a group of them and they go and see terrible bottom league football matches. And they have breakfast wine, Harriet.
Oh no.
Breakfast wine. Exactly. No. Listen to this, right? Is there a fight going on?
Yeah, don't worry. I'm going to shut the door. Hang on.
I think that's going to interfere with the message. One second.
Golly.
They'll scrap it out.
They sound quite aerated.
It's the girls. They always are.
Oh, okay. All right, okay.
Okay.
No dogs. Okay, right. No listen dogs. To this, right?
Yeah.
For a princely sum of £40, we have got a ticket for Lockheed United's game today. Plus, I'm quoting, these are all quotes, two-course lunch. with wine. I can only imagine how good that wine's going to be. Two-course lunch with wine. 5 pints. A mid-match snack, which will be a half-time pie. and apparently we have to meet the players as well.
That's lovely.
So that'll be something. But you can't argue with the value for that, eh?
No! Bargain! Wow, did the cost of the match, that's only about £7.50.
And he
meeting
said,
the players.
He said they're going to lose about like 7-0 or something because they always do.
Oh, I think that's actually really sweet. I can see why he's so excited.
He's having such a lovely time and it just sounds like hell on earth. Breakfast wine alone just and makes me come out in a rash.
What's strange about it is because usually you'll get lunch with a bottle of wine or something, but plus £5. I mean, in London, £40 wouldn't even buy you five pints, let alone the lunch and the wine.
He didn't suppose with 5 pints of what, but probably breakfast wine.
And how have they worked it out? You know, like just enough to get them jolly, but not enough to get them carried out.
So he's coming here
luck, Jeff.
Later.
Oh,
and he's coming here tomorrow and I'm expecting him in a body bag. I think that's the end when he's going to arrive.
He will be delivered to that postbox.
Just slither down the drive and then that'll just sort of scoop him up at the bottom, haul him in by his feet.
Sober him up by next weekend.
Yeah, exactly. Right. Pod. He's going to be on mineral water and energetic walks for the week.
Oh, you could do some content for Instagram.
Yeah. Oh, no. William's coming and he said, don't you film it, Mum, because you're rubbish. So he said, I will film
he's going to do a proper
some
reel.
Reels for Harriet, he said.
Excellent. Okay, thank you, William, because I tried to do something this weekend. I just ran out of ideas.
Okay.
I actually did draw a picture of a very vicious dog, but then I thought it might be a bit triggering for people, so I didn't put it on.
Mm. Also, you really have to be careful what you put on about vicious dogs at the minute because people are very, very
Exactly. I thought I could get trolled.
Yes.
And I wouldn't want that on my nice, clean Shambridge account.
No, exactly. Yes. No, none of the trollings.
I thought twice, which is what you should always do on Instagram.
Yes. And on Twitter, think 14 times and then don't do it anyway.
Yeah, just don't post it. Just do what I do and just never, ever post.
Just leave, basically. Right. Oh, and now we are talking of dogs, but not very dangerous ones this time.
Oh, yeah.
We are crossing over to the village green where Monty and Hilda Ogden are having a chat.
Hilda! Hilda! Over here!
Monty! Stop shouting! They'll think we're fighting and someone will interfere. Probably Joy. We mustn't draw attention. Monty, stop wagging!
I can't help it. It does it by itself. Right, I'm trying. No, it's gone again. I'll sit on it. There. Linda's only in the shop, so I probably haven't got long to talk, unless Susan's on.
Monty, I've got to get away. I've been stuck in a two-bedroom cottage with a gammon who's never had a cat before. Do you know what he was giving me for dinners? Wednesday was half a can of tuna, Thursday was chappie, and Friday was spaghetti bolognese.
Spaghetti?
He panicked. And now look where I am. At least old Lindy knows what she's doing.
But she knows too much. She's always reading these American dog websites. So far, I've been on the raw food diet. I've had a harness, a soft lead, a rigid lead, a hypoallergenic calming bed, and I've got enrichment toys everywhere. There's nothing wrong with me. I just want to be left alone to lick myself.
Well, at least old Brian can't stop me doing that. The thing I miss is Kate.
Kate? I didn't think you were that keen.
Oh, can't stand her. She's completely batshit. But when you've been in a running battle with someone for 3 years, you miss it. Crapping in her yoga bag, dragging her wallet under the bed, clawing holes in her cashmere throw, sitting on a copy of this week's Guru magazine so she can't read it. That sort of thing.
What did she do to you? If it was a battle?
Oh, nothing. I mean, she couldn't. I'd just bite her every chance I got. But she'd sort of seethe, which was nice. And old Peg Leg was right behind me, of course. She knew exactly what I was doing. Sometimes she'd even help me. It was her idea to push Kate's iPad into the bath. Oh, you can understand it when the poor old cow was living in a miasma of patchouli. And every time she asked for a cup of tea, she got Robosh and a lecture on caffeine.
I get hypoallergenic dog treats. Can you imagine? Ruby Bellamy, right? She gets Underwood's pate. Pate! Sometimes it's duck. I get things made out of hemp. Tastes like slippers. Worse than slippers. I wouldn't mind if they gave me actual slippers.
Well, I've got to get out. I've escaped twice and they got me both times. The second time was only because my camo bandana slipped. This time I'm staying away. I'm going feral for a bit, and then I'm going to Jacob's. Private healthcare. Jacob on hand all the time to take care of any little aches and pains I might have. I'm not getting any younger, Monty. In-house physician right there. What do you reckon?
Oh, I'd hate that. I don't like Jacob. I went in the first time and it was all very nice and we were all very friendly. And then the next thing I remember, I woke up a bit sore and I didn't feel at all the same about Robert's trouser leg.
Well, it's the open road for me, kiddo. I've got a rucksack full of dreamies and a plan. So I'll say goodbye, and I'll see you on the other side when I've got Jacob running round after me and Kate hysterical with furious jealousy.
Oh, good luck. I'm sure you'll be... Oh, look, there's Ruby. Look, with Justin. Ho, 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 look at her.
What a nobber. Ruby! Ruby! Got your little coat on, have you? Is it Burberry, is it?
Are you and Daddy out in matching coats, Ruby? When are you going to get a little trilby, Ruby? Look at her, Hilda? Hilda? Oh, she's gone. Oh, she's good.
Thank you very much, Monty and Hilda Ogden.
Pleasure. Pleasure. Can't remember how her voice was. Pleasure. Can't remember.
And we are going out with a suitably dramatic theme.
Oh, yes.
It starts off like it's going to be... It's Also... Oh, I can never say this. Also sprach Zarathustra by Richard Strauss, which you will know when it starts. And okay. It starts a very, very scary, doomy, and you think it's going to be all about the dog fight. And then Matt says it turns into Chelsea and Susan unlocking the golden door, the wardrobe door, and discovering all the beautiful treasures therein. So that's what we're going to have.
Matt, you're so clever.
I know, isn't he?
He can wrap a whole week up in
one
piece of music.
One little tiny snatch of music.
Amazing.
Yes. Okay, so we'll say bye-bye. And
bye-bye.
You'll see Harriet
and
in 2 weeks.
You'll
see me next week and hungover Jeff. And let's hope.
Don't let him drink breakfast wine.
I won't. I do not have any breakfast wine in my house. Thank God. Because I don't live in a skip. That's why.
Bucks Fizz is fine.
Yes.
Because that's that's juice, loud. Really.
It's just orange juice, officer. Yes, let's hope this week keeps up the same standard.
Oh, I'm looking forward to it already, Lucy.
But I'll... Thanks, Lucy. Thanks, everybody.
Okay. Go and sort out the fight with the girls.
Yep.
All right. Okay.
Vicious fight. Okay.
Bye.
Cheers.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.